Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome back to the Powered by Transova podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Today we are sharing a replay of a Facebook Live event that we had this spring all about customized IVF programs. On the Facebook Live, we had Allison May and Claire DeOrnelis, both client service reps who have been on the podcast earlier this year. And so it's great to talk with them again about the different options that are available through Transova. They took questions live from Facebook, people watching, and answered them. So we hope that you get something out of it as well. And as always, if you have more questions, feel free to reach out to us at moreinformation@transova.com or give us a call at 800-999-3586.
Tonight we are talking about customized IVF programs. So anything and everything that goes into setting up your donors, getting them on the schedule, making embryos, and then putting them in, freezing. There's a lot of different options that we offer with Transova. And tonight we've got with us a couple of our top-notch client service reps that are going to answer your questions.
I'm going to try really hard to control the corgis, but as soon as we started, they got super excited. So I'm just throwing that warning.
They should be excited.
Facebook world.
Oh, they should be excited. We're talking about IVF and cows. What's more exciting than that? Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump right into it. I'm Emily Warnemont. I'm part of the Transova marketing team, and I'm going to be moderating this discussion. So I'll let these two lovely ladies introduce themselves, and then we'll jump right into it. So Claire, why don't you start us off?
I'm Claire DeOrnelis. I've been client service for about 4 years now. And before that, I had some embryologist experience for about 4 more years. I service all of Indiana, Illinois, and Central Iowa. So that includes Olympic Genetics, Double Diamond Genetics, Alan Miller, and they're at Prairie View Farms and Donor Solutions.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, my turn. Allison May. I am currently residing in Williamsport, Maryland. I'm the client service manager here in our Boonesboro location. And I think it's probably easier to list places that I don't work with clients than it is to say where I do, because I've been very fortunate to get exposed to producers all over the country. I kind of work with a variety of clients all up and down the Eastern Seaboard here, all the way out in Montana. Been pretty fortunate to work with the folks out there at Churchill and Larry Coleman and some other folks out in that neck of the woods. Most recently, if you guys do get out in the Ohio region, I've been fortunate to spend some time face-to-face with clients as well at Legends Lane, which is in Alexandria, right outside of Columbus. You maybe even have seen Emily there recently. So try to get out as much as I can, and love getting to know people all over the country. So a little bit spread out, but I reside here in Maryland. That's my main base.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us. So for everybody that's watching at home or on your phone or wherever you're at, go ahead and drop your comments, your questions in the comments below of this video, and we'll do our best to get them answered to our best of our ability, or we will find somebody that can answer them for you. So go ahead and drop those in. There is a little bit of a delay, so we will try and get to those as quickly as possible. So well, as we're waiting for questions to come in, let's just start off with you know, the term customized IVF programs, we throw that around a lot. What does that even mean?
This is an interesting question, actually, because when you first asked us to do this, Claire and I both were like, where do we start? Because that's such a broad thing and a broad question. And, you know, I've been with Transova for about 5 years now, and I thought I knew what options were available before I started. And now that I've had exposure to the entire system and the entire toolbox, as we call it, I think it's pretty interesting how many opportunities there are for, you know, normal producers or producers from every walk of life and, you know, breed and program to utilize IVF. So I guess when I think of customizing programs, you know, I think the way to get the most out of that and out of this and what we offer is to just start having those conversations with folks like Claire and I to figure out what pieces of that IVF puzzle kind of work for you. So I don't know how in depth you want to go just yet, because I feel like questions are going to come in and there's a lot of specific things that can be addressed and applied. But I guess for me, when I hear customized IVF program, I think, how can we help guide you and tailor our services and our options, our flexibility to fit your program and your goals?
I'd have to agree with what Allison says. There's a lot of things we can do, and we've been doing a lot here recently. And one of my new favorite sayings is, you don't know what you don't know. So just talking to us, and we can sure help you get through some of your options, especially now we're coming into, most of my clients are beef clients, so we're coming into a big time for embryo implanting, and what's best to get those pregnancies and get those calves on the ground, and what Transova can do for you.
Claire, so you mentioned spring calving. A lot of people are kind of in the heat of it right now, but it's going to come up on us that we need to start planning to get those cows rebred. How soon after a cow calves can we start her in the IVF process?
So my personal suggestion is, if everything goes well, you know, if the calf is doing good, your donor's doing good, no problems calving, I like to wait 45 days just to give her a good chance that she's getting close to coming in heat, or maybe she actually did come in heat. You know, for some of those that had a rough time, or maybe even had a C-section, or the calf was a little big coming out, I'd say you need to give them closer to that 60-day mark. If they show a heat, even better. That means your cow's ready to go. She's already ready to be bred again, so all her hormones are back up and running and everything's going smooth.
Awesome. Well, we've got our first question here that came in. Do you have a lease program with recip cows?
We do not have a lease program with recip cows. We have a purchase program. So you can implant your embryos into our recipients. And we preg check them at 40 days. We let you know how we're sitting. We repreg check them at 60 days, where we actually fetal sex them, and then they're ready to go home. To their new place. So they're yours to keep for as long as you want.
And I will add that we have we've had a wean calf program, but we don't anymore. But we've got a pretty decent list, I would say, of people that we know that do that. So if you want to shoot us an email or contact your client service rep, they can hook you up with somebody close to you, I'd say. Right, guys?
Yeah. We can sure try. So we can sure help. We know lots of people in the areas and stuff like that. So yeah, that would be a wean calf program where they actually calve out the embryos and then you get a live calf back. And every program's a little bit different. So it'd just be parameters and talking to those producers that want to do that.
And I think...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Just kind of, since we're talking about customizing programs and things like that, it's probably a good note to mention with that recip program. There's a few different location options. So we can offer that program out of our Texas, Missouri, and Iowa locations. And there is some flexibility there as well with fresh or frozen transfers. So I think depending on time of year and kind of what you're trying to accomplish, you know, we have people that or just looking for one specific calving window. And so maybe they've been stocking up embryos or they've purchased embryos over the last year, however long. We can put those in anytime. If you want to set up to use the recipients for fresh embryos, whether those are all of the fresh embryos or just the lower quality embryos that maybe are not viable to freeze, those are some options as well. So just make sure on that, especially that we're doing enough pre-planning and talking about that ahead of time. So, but there are some good options to include in your program there.
We had somebody on here mention some testing of the recipients for various diseases. Would one of you maybe want to talk about the selection process of the Transova recipients?
I can give probably a basic answer on that when we do get those recips in, there is some background work that's done on them. So they will go through several rounds of health testing and protocols and evaluations before we ever even implant an embryo. So, and then they're monitored and retested before they leave. So I think the recip team does an awesome job of trying to screen cattle that we don't raise ourselves and are coming from a lot of different backgrounds. So there is a pretty extensive protocol. Maybe Claire knows more specifics, but that's one thing I feel confident about and I've got a lot of positive feedback on.
We do quite a bit of screening for different tests. Most of our recips are between 3 and 6 years old. I would say if you're requesting a recip, for the most part, they're black or red. Hardly anything is... I don't think I've seen one white one in my time at Transova. So if there's something specific about a color that you really need or want, our recip team goes through and for the heats for the day and breaks it down by the breed that's going into them to try and help, you know, kind of meet the recip that the embryo is going into. We do a background screening for quite a few diseases. They're all up to date on all their vaccinations and being poured and anything that they should need before they're ready to go home. So she's a pregnant recip, ready to go.
Awesome. What else about customized IVF programs is important for people looking to get into IVF? What should they know?
Oh, sorry, Claire.
Nope, go ahead, Allison.
We already kind of talked about one of the most important or popular questions, I guess, this time of year, which is when to work donors after they've calved. But on the flip side, and one thing to keep in mind that is a nice perk of doing IVF is that you can also aspirate donors when they're bred. So on the flip side of that equation, we can typically do them up to that 100, 120 day of gestation range, depending on the donor and how that calf's sitting in her. So keep that in mind also. So if you maybe had a hard calving or things got kind of pushed back and you want to get her bred up right away, then that's totally fine. And we can get set up to work her after she gets settled. So that's another thing to kind of keep in mind going into spring.
Yeah. Pregnant donors, open donors, both are great candidates. Problem donors. If you have a conventional cow that she's making lots of embryos, but maybe she's not getting them fertilized, you know, IVF, we're putting the semen right in there with her OSA, her unfertilized eggs to fertilize them. So if something's blocking the flow of semen, any sort of candidate, you know, if you have a show heifer that you really want to get some embryos off of, your shot programs, we can certainly customize those. You know, if she's a show heifer and you don't want to be giving her a shot, we can certainly talk about the option of no stim, or we can talk about an option of only having to give her one, or we can give her the whole series, or that's available to all of your donors too. Sometimes it's just the simplicity's sake of not giving them a shot and hauling them in the day that they've been collected. We have facilities that will house your donors and do all of that for you. And that's all listed. I believe it's all on transova.com as to what facilities offer donor housing. Our client service representatives can definitely help you find that as well. When we're talking about the recips, it kind of brought to mind that we do have a fresh ship program. So if you have your own recips, we can probably help you find a technician if one of ours isn't available to come put those in on farm. But we can send you an incubator and instructions on how to implant those embryos into your own recips, so you can put them in fresh, or we can freeze them for you. And we do have a shipping program, so we can ship them directly to your house. There's a lot of options out there. Like we talked earlier, there's a lot of possibilities that we can definitely do for you and using IVF.
Yep, definitely. So I'll drop the link to our locations page on the website, so you can look and see what's closest to you and what services that facility offers. And I think this next question ties in great to what Claire was saying. If someone is setting up their own cows, do you like to see more set up than the number of embryos they are planning on putting in? This way you can choose the best ready recips.
Yes, I try to follow the 80% rule. So I would prefer you send 80% of the embryos for how many recips you have. So if you have 10 recips, I prefer you only send 8 embryos. The embryo's best place is to be in the lab. So if you're not going to use them or time gets away from you, we can definitely we can send you what you need, and we can freeze the rest and send the rest to you later. And if you want all of them for your practitioner to freeze, we can definitely do that as well. But I suggest sending less and having a couple frozen just in case all of your recips check out. But odds are there's probably going to be one or two kickouts along the way. So that's what I usually suggest to people, is they send 80%. So.
And definitely it's a good note to pre-plan and have some frozens on hand too, especially if you're really banking on maybe that being your one big transfer for the year or something like that. There's so many variables that go into this. So having all that time and labor and money into setting up recips and not having enough embryos can certainly put you in a bind. So planning on having some frozens is a good idea too.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. And I guess, Claire, too, why don't you talk a little bit about what is needed for a fresh transfer trip on farm?
So we will send a guideline of everything that we suggest that you do, so your practitioners aren't totally in the dark. And if they need to call in and talk to one of us, I am sure happy to offer my embryology skills and services, if not, or not services, over the phone talking you through it. If not, we'll get you in touch with an embryologist so they can certainly help. Our incubators come with the media that we would like for the embryos to be poured out into, and also to be loaded up into the straws. So we send you the media, and we send you guidelines that everything really needs to be warm. So the room really needs to be 70 or above. IVF embryos don't like shock. So keeping it in a warm, clean environment until you get them loaded up in straws and then put into a gun warmer. The gun warmer definitely helps when it's cool outside. You know, when we get in the summer months, it's a lot warmer out, but also just more of a handling and more maybe a little bit of a sanitization. Definitely the gun warmer will help hold and organize everything for you. You need a microscope. We prefer that you would have a warming plate so you can have the media warmed up and set into that. So we would have you do that. And you need transfer straws, transfer guns, all things that normal practitioners would have available with them to come put your embryos in.
Awesome. Yeah. Like Claire said, they give you a whole piece of paper that lines out everything you need for your vet or practitioner that's going to put in the embryos, or a Transova person will already know and you'll be good to go. So,
and we can definitely send that information to anybody prior too, so it's not a surprise when the day of transfers too.
Yep, exactly. We had another person ask about some recips. How do you call for desposition before implanting embryos?
For the most part, I guess I can speak mainly on the Iowa recips, but the recip team is out there a lot on foot. So we know how the recip, they've already been worked through the chute once. The recip team is mainly on foot, especially when they're sorting all of them, as far as, you know, how they act around people. If they act mean and nasty before they've even gone to the chute, then they don't need to go. And they are in groups of cows. It's not like we take one off and sort them off by themselves. But for the most part, we do that based off having our team members on foot out there with the donor or the recips.
Definitely something I think that's worth doing some planning and sorting at home also. If you are going to have recipients set up at your home base to put embryos in. So kind of based on your handling facilities and resources and what you're kind of going after. But some places, especially out where you're working on bigger pieces of land and maybe there's not somebody there all the time checking them, like we are, you know, I'm in Maryland, so all of our cows are pretty much bucket broke and friendly and old show cows and whatever. But, you know, out in other parts of the country, we don't really want them to be like that or they probably won't survive. So keep that in mind, kind of what you're hoping to accomplish, especially on smaller operations. You're going to put a lot of time and effort and money into making these embryos and putting them in and, you know, having a mom that's going to take care of them and not try to run them over or something like that. Always a good idea.
Yep. Awesome. Well, we'll take a few more questions here. So continue to drop them in the comments below. Let's see, what else haven't we talked about here with IVF guys? What are some key things that you like to tell people or things that you need to know starting out on IVF?
I for sure have one that I wanted to make sure that we kind of talked at least a little bit about as you are planning. Semen, and sire selection are definitely a big part of what we do. If you have worked with me, especially, and a lot of us, we talk a lot about the laws of averages and the variation and all the variables and the things that go into this. So what we try our best to do is help you put high quality oocytes and semen together and hope for the best outcome. So we try to line up those inputs as good as we can. And so a thing of a lot of discussion, especially recently, is the bulls and the semen. So you do have the option in IVF to reverse sort the semen. So you have three different types of semen. You can do just conventional regular semen where we're just going to thaw a unit. Doesn't matter, obviously, out of these matings, if you get bulls or females, both bring some value to you, then that's a good route to go. We can use sex frozen semen, or we can take that conventional unit of semen, thaw it, process it, and select for males or females and introduce that semen to the oocytes or unfertilized eggs. So the thing to keep in mind, though, is that not every bull or collection or type of semen or type of semen for that bull in particular is created equal. You know, it's definitely important to keep in mind that we are taking taking a process out of the cow and putting it into an artificial environment. Good news is, if you work with us, you have a team of professionals that have been doing this longer than anybody else. So we, you know, are going to line you up as good as we can, but definitely putting some pre-thought into the bull selection is important. We keep data on all the sires and how they've worked for us in our system specifically. So that's definitely one thing. Pre-plan on shipping, pre-plan on selecting, and that will definitely help a lot.
So Allison, one of the questions that just came up while you're talking is, why do some sires not work in IVF? Maybe you could talk about kind of the factors that go into that.
So I'm not sure that I'm smart enough to know exactly why. And I'm not sure, honestly, that we even know specifically. I mean, because there's definitely one huge component to that, which is quality, the quality of the semen, how that semen has been processed and handled prior to coming to us. We definitely need a very viable, good sample to put into this process. But I do think that there is a large component that is genetic or, you know, something that we can't quantify or see under a microscope, that those are often the ones that make us scratch our heads a lot. You know, the samples that will look really good, the motility is good, the concentration is there. And for whatever reason that we probably can't put our finger on or control, is that they just don't have what it takes, that capacity to go the extra mile and make embryos and make pregnancies. So I don't know that we can say for sure. That's why we kind of like data, and we rely pretty heavy on that for bulls that have been used a lot in our system, so that we know that. And if it is a new bull too, one thing to keep in mind that we try to make a habit of, if it's a new bull, obviously not very expensive, or you're not going to want to do this, we can thaw a unit and kind of apply some stress to it before we're going to use it. Again, something that needs some pre-planning, but getting a glimpse at that bull, that collection, seeing what we think it's going to be able to do for us is also a good route to go. So if it's a more popular bull, we probably have an idea already. I do have a couple arch nemesis type bulls that I have nightmares about, because every time I see one win a show, I'm like, oh man, like everybody's going to want it. And some of them just don't, for reasons beyond our control, probably want to work in IVF. So
we've got another great question that came in here. What is the average number of embryos produced in an IVF round, and how often can you do the procedure?
Okay, I'm going, the average is still 7, right?
I think so.
Okay, that's what I tell everybody. So we're going with it, it's still 7. And that's the last I check. I usually check in on it every couple of months. So the average is about 7. Of course, everyone knows how we get averages from donors that do really well and donors that don't do very well. So, you know, kind of one of our parts of setting up customized IVF is also setting expectations. You know, if we haven't done your donor before, we can sure, I'm not even going to try and guess how many oocytes she's going to have. That's not something that we can tell just by looking at her. So until we get her in there and get to scan her ovaries and have our vets pull them off, that's kind of an idea. Another one of our averages is usually about 30% of the oocytes become embryos. That doesn't necessarily mean they're freezable embryos, but they're viable embryos. And that number seems to be getting higher. And I think our data, like Allison said, about semen has really been helping with that as well. And then as far as how many times you can do the procedure, It depends on your donor a little bit. Some donors need more breaks than others. Some of them only need to be done every 30 days. But we do still feel comfortable with doing most donors every 2 weeks until they get to a point where our technicians recommend that they maybe need a rest, just a little break off of FSH or a break off of being collected. We'll definitely do your donor some good too. So we trust our technicians, and our CSRs also monitor all of that too. We work as a team to try and decide what's best. Ultimately, she's your cow, so it's ultimately your decision as well, as long as we're not putting her in harm's way.
Definitely, probably one note too, like we talk a lot about averages and things like that, but especially with kind of what we're seeing now, it is important to keep in mind that age is a pretty big factor in what we do and the success that we see. So, you know, a lot of times now we're seeing guys want to push for younger and younger donors, where years ago that age was quite a bit higher. So that is definitely one thing to keep in mind if you're using young donors or young sires or a combination of the both. That's definitely, you know, you may not be in that 7 range when you look at your averages. So.
Awesome. Well, we'll
these are pumped here. They're just really excited about it.
Okay. So we'll take this one last question here before we sign off. Are conception rates on sexed embryos poorer than non-sexed?
Well, okay. Again, I feel like I'm going to jump in here. Can you just say the question again?
Are conception rates on sexed embryos poorer than non-sexed?
Again, I just keep on muting at the same time. Okay, so I will give my version of the answer, and then you can give your version of the answer. I think in our system, we do not see a difference between sexed and not sexed embryos. So, you know, a lot of times when we talk about success rates in different programs, we have collected obviously a large amount of data from our programs, our recipient herds and things like that. So we do not see that variation. Now we do get that feedback. I mean, I personally work with some guys that say that there's more variation probably. And I do believe that on the sex side versus the not sex side. But you know, there's so many other factors that go into that I'm not sure we can confidently say, yes, you're going to see this percentage of variation because it's sexed versus not sexed. A lot of guys just use this program for the sexed or the sorted options. So, and they see a lot of success with it. So it's one of many, many things to keep in mind for sure. Go ahead, Claire. I won't cut you off now.
You're not cutting me off. I would agree with what you say. My opinion is an embryo is already made. So we are grading them exactly the same. So they're a grade 1 or a grade 2 when we freeze them. I do think there's always going to be a little bit of something maybe we can't see. I mean, I have guys who have donors whose pregnancy rate is a lot higher than one of their other donors. So, and they could all be called the exact same embryo. So I think a little bit of it is still genetics. Backing the embryo, but also there's a ton of factors that go into putting an embryo and making a pregnancy. So to say specifically is because it was a sexed embryo or because we put the embryo in on the right side as opposed to the left side, I think we're really going to be splitting hairs if somebody figures out exactly why cows come open, you should really let us know. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us tonight on our live. It was very insightful, and I really appreciate both of your time. If anybody else has any other questions or is watching the replay of this, feel free to continue to drop those in the comments below, and we will get back to you and answer those questions, or you can send us an email at moreinformation@transova.com or go to our website and check it out, transova.com, and we'll connect that way, or you can just give us a call and talk to somebody directly. So thank you all and have a great night.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.